for the recording system for the 22.
Line, please hold. Mr. Simon, we're on the line with Mr. Breitweiser. Mr. Breitweiser, I understand you're moving to continue because you've got an appointment. Wait a minute. Have we even done an initial, Nancy?
Yeah, we did.
So what else do you need to do on your license, Mr. Breitweiser?
I have to get my interlock system reinstalled. I have an appointment for next week.
Okay, Mr. Simon, do you object?
No objection, Judge.
Motion's granted, set for August 31st, 9 o'clock. Mr. Breitweiser, are you at the court building?
Yes, sir, I am.
Come on in to the third window. We'll have you sign the minute entry and get you on your way.
Yes, sir.
I'm not finding a number for Mr. Oh, yeah, come on in. Thank you. I'm not finding a number for Mr. Lynn. Do I use the one on the citation? Oh.
Sorry,
I'm
just like to come.
Right. Same number. Mr. Wynn, this is George Dunscombe, Ore Valley Magistrate. We have Mr. Simon from the Prosecutor's Office on the other line. And this is the time set for your initial appearance and arraignment. First of all, can you confirm your date of birth for me, please?
6/21/67.
Okay. You were cited on June the 6th. You were charged with not having proof of insurance, a violation of the registration law. Oh, you didn't have current registration.
Right.
And then failure to carry alien registration document, which is in theory a class one misdemeanor with a possible maximum penalty of 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,498 in fines and surcharges. The no proof of insurance carries a minimum mandatory $938 in sanctions and surcharges, and a 3-month suspension of your driving privileges. Do you understand that?
Yes.
You have the right to enter a plea of not guilty, the right to have a trial, the right to have an attorney, doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel, the right to remain silent, and the right to be present at this and all future proceedings. Do you understand all that?
Yes.
So, actually the state's moving, my minute, he says the state's moving to dismiss the no proof of insurance. Is that correct, Mr. Simon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that one's off the table. So, enter a plea of not guilty on the criminal matter, not responsible on the civil traffic. Set it for a pretrial September the 29th at 9 o'clock. Again, you must be present or we could proceed in your absence, and you could be charged with failing to appear. And
okay,
we would issue a warrant.
Now, I have a question. What is this alien? Because I was never asked any questions about that.
Well, hang on a minute.
Okay. I mean, because I gave my driver's license, so.
Were you driving a commercial vehicle?
No.
I I'm not supposed to ask you this under normal circumstances. Are you an American citizen?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Simon, I'm sorry, but the statute appears to be charging him with not carrying a green card. Have you looked at it? Mr. Simon, are you there?
I'm sorry, Judge. Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I didn't look at the... I don't have the statute in front of me. If that's the way it's charged, that's the way it's charged. I think the main point here is that he gets his license reinstated. I think the issue will be moot once he does that.
I fail to see how either of them are related. The other one is that it's a expired registration. It's got nothing to do with his legal status in the United States. And this is a Title 13 violation, not a Title 28.
Right. No, I agree with you. I don't know what transpired during the traffic stop. It could be a mistake.
Judge, did he tell him before court that he just needed to get his car registered?
All right. Mr. Wynn, how long will it take you to get your registration renewed?
My check engine light is all on the vehicle, and they won't pass me through emissions until I get it fixed. I'm in the process. Prosecutor allowed me a little bit of time to do that. I just don't know exactly how long it's going to take, but if I have it, at least a month, that'd be great.
Okay, like I said, we've already set this for September 29th. I was just hoping that we might get it done a little sooner. Remember, you don't appear with the issue of warrant. And
if I do get it done sooner, could I call or something? Or?
I think that you could simply mail or deliver the proof of your renewed registration to the prosecutor's office, and they may take action on it based on that. Is that correct, Mr. Simon?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Okay. Wynn, come on in, sign the document. We'll give you your court date and get you on your way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ms. Nancy, what else have we?
I called and left a message with this fellow this morning. It's just the DSL.
It's ancient.
Mm-hmm. And this one, I couldn't read the messages. Voice not locked at them, so that's...
Well, Mr. Romero's not here. Nancy attempted to call. She couldn't get a hold of him. I guess we can try one more time. Mr. Romero, this is George Dunscombe, Ore Valley Magistrate. You had a hearing this morning at 9 o'clock on your suspended license charge. If we don't hear from you before about 4 o'clock this afternoon, we're probably going to issue a warrant. Which leaves us with Anthony Gennaro Willingham, which is he was arraigned in June, given a court date for today. Actually, he was given a court date for tomorrow. And then we sent him a new notice setting it for today. So what we'll do is we'll just see if he calls in tomorrow morning.
Okay.
If he does, we'll call. Failing that, it'll go to Dan for a phone call. And well, there is a phone number here. Let's just try it.
Yeah, it's not supposed to know what's set up.
Sorry,
but the person you called has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Goodbye.
Very polite computer.
Hmm?
It's a very polite computer.
Yes. Mr. Randall already filed a motion to continue the 10 o'clock matter. We'll have Salazar Martinez at 10. I think that's it.
All right, Judge.
And we got Mr. Damianakos at 1:45 and 2.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Call you back. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, anything, yeah?
No.
Why would I have written Tanya Molina's name down and put a note that says get case 2007-05005, which isn't a valid number?
Was it part of a injunction?
That's Tanya Molina. That's an injunction. That was the one.
Oh, maybe I handed you this note.
Judge Powers did that one, I think. It was contested.
Okay. Why do these people contest these things? Why is it so important that they have to have contact with this other person, or that there not be an order in place?
Some jobs, don't they?
Oh, can I see you? The first guy to file that.
If you have one of those, doesn't it affect you?
No, the second guy. I'm so sorry.
In certain environments? Because they, you know, they ask you a lot of job applications. Do you have
one? Oh, yeah. If fingerprints are required, like Ms. Dada yesterday, if she works for a school district, she's got to be fingerprinted.
Yeah.
Maybe it comes back to that conviction, they're not going to hire her. Failure to carry, alien, who did this? Matt Gall. I never was impressed with him, but if the guy's an American citizen, what the hell is Gall doing? And why is Troy, pardon the expression, a rough record, Nancy?
Oh.
Are we hung up? Always worry about that.
Are we in the record, Nancy? On the record in State versus Daniel Suzuri, CM 2020000055. Are you Mr. Suzuri?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Simon, what was the plea offer?
Plea to the charge, $200 fine.
The
Last time, I think he was supposed to talk to a lawyer to decide whether he wanted to accept the plea offer. I don't know if he had a chance to talk to a lawyer.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's pushing buttons on the phone? Mr. Suzery, was that you?
No, that's not me. Well, you know what? If you look in right here, yeah, I could have been here doing that. I apologize. You want to see the booyah?
All right, hang on. Mr. Simon, I'm just curious, you didn't ask jail time initially. I was talking to the prosecutor. I said, Mr. Simon, the state did not ask jail time initially. What am I...
Well, we bargained the jail. The basis of the bargain was if he settled on $200 fine, we would suspend the jail. We never indicated that if we went to trial, we would not forego asking jail. We were in plea negotiations. I spoke to him today. He doesn't seem interested in the plea offer, so it looks like we're moving towards trial unless he changes his mind.
Nancy?
Yeah.
Can we reset this in 2 weeks instead of September 1st, just so we can get the financial affidavit back before we appoint counsel?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know that he's qualified.
Right.
Mr. Suzery, how long, you have to file a financial affidavit before I can appoint counsel to represent you on this. So just, let me just ask you some basic questions. Where are you working?
I was asking to do this.
I'm sorry, what?
It's not cheaping.
And how much are you getting paid an hour?
Minimum wage.
Okay, so it's what, $12 an hour or something?
Yeah. I haven't got a check yet.
All right, well, we still have to have you fill out the affidavit. Can you get back with us again 2 weeks from today on August the 4th, about the same time?
Definitely.
I'll put it in the mail today.
And we'll mail it to you today. Do we have a good address for you on Emory?
Yes, correct. 941 West Emory. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If they seek some counsel before that day, eventually, I don't know how to talk to the people, the prosecutor I talked to last time. He had given me a number, so I think it's sort of just call and say, rotate
the financial affidavit at that time. I'm relatively certain that we'll be able to appoint an attorney for you, okay?
Awesome, I appreciate you.
All right. You have a good day, Mr. Suzery.
Thank you as well. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. We have to get Mr. Simon on the line. Please hold.
Hello.
Mr. Simon, we now have Mr. Romero on the line. Is this Christopher Romero?
Yes, sir.
So you must have gotten my voice message.
No, I called in. I was waiting for you.
We called you twice.
Oh, jeez. Okay, I apologize. I'm working from home. I got a new insurance, so I got everybody calling my phone constantly, so I apologize.
So what's going on with your driver license?
Yeah, I can, last time, you know what, I'm not even sure at this point, to be honest with you. Yeah, last time I checked, it was good to go. I don't even know where we lost everything, so...
Well, I think where it was left was back in May, and it was Judge Barry, and you moved to continue.
Yes.
And you told her that you had unpaid fines in Pima County Consolidated Justice Court. And that was 2 months ago. So, do you still have unpaid fines in Pima County Justice Court?
Well, no, I did actually end up paying those. I set up a payment plan at least. I don't know if that counts or not.
What efforts have you actually made to get this license reinstated?
Repeat the question?
What efforts have you actually made to have your license reinstated, which is pretty much what the prosecutor is requiring?
Right. That's my understanding, too. And I've submitted a revocation package to DMV. I've called DMV several times. It's a shame that there's such a disconnect between the DMV and the actual court. So my issue at the DMV, as far as getting them what's needed, which I've done, submitting practice, if they have some system that hasn't been updated, because of what now we're saying, the ticket, or there's other fines in another court that hasn't been paid, I can say, I know what I've done to D&D, what they asked for, they got them to pay for it, they need it, so.
Well, it's still incumbent upon you to get the driver license reinstated. We can't do any of that work for you.
No, correct, and that's what I'm saying. If, you know, on my end, giving them what they need as far as paperwork, after that, I'm not sure what else I could possibly do.
When's the last time you actually had a conversation with someone in MVD?
At this point, it was before our last court hearing back in, I guess now, May. That was the last time I talked to them. Again, my understanding at that point was that everything was good to go.
Okay, well, MVD is a bureaucracy like most others, and they're going to pay attention to the case that's on their desk at the moment, which gets on their desk by someone calling them. Now, I understand you'll have to call and schedule an appointment to call in.
Okay.
Or you can go, can they do that, can you do it at Service Arizona, schedule an appointment?
I don't know about that. Sounds like he needs to call and find out what he needs to do.
Yeah, but you need to follow up with them and find out. I mean, the onus is on you, not MVD. They're not motivated to assist you. I'm not saying they're trying to harm you, but they're not motivated to assist you. Okay?
Okay. Understood. Okay.
All right, you want to go, Judge?
Yeah, so what can we do here then going forward just to make it easy for everybody, you know?
Well, Mr. Simon, what's the state's position on this? I don't know.
Yeah, just is there any way you get proof that your license is reinstated? Sounds like you've done everything you need to do. It's just the final lap here in this race.
Okay. Yeah, and sure, absolutely. Yeah, so just now what we're asking for is have DMV send us some sort of proof.
Well,
whatever it is,
you need to go to MVD and actually request written proof that your license is reinstated.
Okay.
That sort of thing.
You have to pay a reinstatement fee too. It's not just like that, but you need to verify with MVD that they've received everything they need, and if they haven't, you need to get that to them, and then you know, get the okay from them, pay the reinstatement fee, and move forward.
Okay. And then just send to you guys what you need as far as things that are written, proof or whatever it may be that they can.
You need to provide proof to the prosecutor's office that your license has been reinstated.
Sure. Okay. So that's the next step.
How far
out
do you want to go, Judge?
Let's only go 30 days.
So,
let's do
August
9th. Yeah, I'm going to just send that into an email, I'm assuming.
Mr. Simon, if you can give him that email.
Yes, sir. Are you ready? Do you have a pen? A paper?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
All right, here it is. It's all lowercase. T as in Tom.
Simon, S-I-M-O-N, at Oro Valley, AZ, dot gov.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, no, that shouldn't be an issue. I'm interested in it.
Yeah, once I get that, I can just dismiss the case and we'll be done.
Okay.
Okay, August
19th.
We're going to reset this about a month away, August the 19th. What time? At 9 o'clock in the morning. If you've already taken care of all this by then, the hearing will be vacated. If not, you need to call in to us.
Sure. Okay.
At 9 o'clock, all right?
Very good. Understood. Thank you.
All right. We'll mail you a new minute entry. Can you verify your address?
Yes, I actually have a new...
Okay. We have Mr. Simon for the state, Mr. Damianakos for the defendant, Ms. Mandel, and I'm... who's already indicated that the victim is present with her on the screen, and we have Ms. Velasquez, who's the victim advocate. So what's going on, counsel?
Your Honor, I'm not present with me, but I've been contacting them. I spoke to him prior to this hearing. I've been communicating with Mr. Simon, and Ms. Peterson has been part of those communications. One of the issues and how this case is going to be resolved is whether or not Mr. Sung-hoon is going to be amenable to treatment. And he is amenable to treatment, and I informed Mr. Simon and Ms. Peterson that he is engaged in treatment. He is recently enrolled in perception counseling. He's completed an intake, domestic violence intake. His treatment plan consists of 52 sessions of domestic violence counseling, which will be every Wednesday by Zoom. Now, his first session was last Wednesday by Zoom. My understanding is he didn't attend that one. He had a problem with a technical issue because he was in contact with the provider, and that in to make sure that doesn't happen again, he's going to be doing it in person today. In addition, he part of his treatment plan includes 24 weeks of parenting, and that component of treatment is going to begin halfway through the domestic violence treatment. In addition to perceptions, Mr. Sung-hoon has an intake scheduled for Friday with Carol's Health, and that's a referral from Department of Child Safety. He's going to be doing an intake, and I expect he'll be doing treatment, and that's for the purpose of behavioral health counseling. We have a very strong desire to complete the treatment successfully and resolve the case in a way that is desirable without going to trial. So that's where we're at. I would ask the court to give us some time. We'll obviously wait time for Mr. Sung-hoon to get some traction and demonstrate his commitment to the process, and so we can come back and reassess.
Ms. Peterson.
Thank you, Jeff. One thing that's going to be crucial for my client is a forensic psychological evaluation. This case is quite extraordinary in the threats that were made and the brandishing of a weapon. I'm actually surprised that it's a misdemeanor. Regardless of that fact, we're happy that he's getting treatment. We do believe that there may be an undiagnosed mental illness or something of that nature, and so we really would like to have a psychological examination that is a forensic one that can be published, etc. If Kim does have a statement she would like to read to the court, it's really important to her, even if the defendant is not present, if she could read that to the court today with your permission.
Well, before we move on to that, what do you mean by a forensic psych evaluation?
Yeah, so it's a little different, Judge, and we do them in family law cases a lot. What it does is an intensive psychological evaluation. There's three forensic psychologists in town that do them. You can get them in Phoenix, too, but I don't know where to do that. But in some of our cases, the reason that we do forensic ones is they're not self-reported. It's a psychologist that is trained in mental health disorders and gives them assessments similar to, if someone's doing an alcohol evaluation. They double-check their answers, and if they conflict with each other, it kind of tells them what may be underlying. It's a much more accurate tool in assessing whether someone lacks empathy, maybe potentially a danger to someone in the future, such as it has sociopathic tendencies or something of that nature, but that was something that we thought would be incredibly helpful to see if there was anything underlying with Ken's case that he might need treatment for that he could just self-report on. We don't have access to whatever evaluations he did through DCS that led him to the behavioral health. I have a feeling we'll be filing not necessarily in this case, but in a potential family law case for HIPAA reviews so we can see what's going on. Because what happened in this case is the children witnessed everything in this case because they were worried about their mother and started using their security camera footage, so they saw exactly what their father did. And they're pretty traumatized, to say the least. And so as a result of trying to get this family in the future to heal, we need to know how Mr. Kim needs to be treated. If that all makes sense, Your Honor.
Well, it may make sense, Ms. Mandel, but this court doesn't have the funding to pay for such an examination, and unless Mr. Simon can file a motion and request it and come up with a justification for it. It could be ordered, but it's going to have to be at Mr. Sun Hoon's expense.
I understand that. It sounds like there's been a bit of a turn of events, and Mr. Kim is wanting to resolve everything.
Okay.
That out there as what Ms. Kim would like in addition to what's been said today. And that has been communicated prior, not this story.
Mr. Dominakos, remember that Mr. Simon weigh in.
Well, I don't specifically remember talking specifically about a forensic psych eval.
It's in the plea. It's in the, it's one of the conditions of the plea.
Oh, I thought you meant we discussed it through email.
I just with the prosecutor, and this is one of the conditions of the plea.
Yeah, it's in the plea agreement. It is, everybody says forensic psychological evaluation.
Well, my plea says complete psychological evaluation. not forensic psychological evaluation. Unless we're looking at something different here.
We'll have to go back and check. Originally, the plea agreement did change, but...
Okay, so it may have changed. I mean, I don't know. That might be necessarily part of what he's, the counseling he's going to be doing with Carol's, the behavioral counseling. Not a mental health expert. I don't know how they do it in family law court, but I expect them to do a psych eval for behavioral counseling.
Well, now we're kind of getting into plea negotiations. If Mr. Simon has put this in the plea agreement, and I suppose it would be necessary for you to get a copy of it, Ms. Peterson-Mandela, if you can provide information to both Mr. Simon and Mr. Damianakos about where this evaluation could be accomplished and how, most specifically by whom, because I think it's going to have to be specifically written in the plea agreement if it's going to be in there and if it's going to be accepted.
Yeah, I can even type their names in the chat, so I mean, I can say it right now.
Well, actually, I would prefer that it, until it becomes part of the plea agreement, I don't particularly want.
It's fine.
I don't need that information myself at this time, okay? So, Mr. Simon, is there a new plea agreement that Mr. Damianakos has not received a copy of?
I just pulled it. Mr. Simon did send it to me, and it does say, complete forensic psychological evaluation.
Yeah, that was mailed on essentially June 9th, I believe. And yeah, I just pulled it up right now, Your Honor. I was searching in my email. That was, June 9th.
Mr. Damianakos, how do you spell Taros?
T-A-R-R-O-S. Taros Health.
And that's 24 weeks of parenting classes?
It's 24 weeks of parenting, 52 weeks of domestic violence treatment, and then through Taros, a behavioral health assessment, which is scheduled for this Friday. The TV treatment and the parenting is through perceptions. Lisa, if you want to send me by email the contact information of the evaluators.
Yeah, I can do that.
Is the behavioral health evaluation done by Taros?
All right.
We were having recorder issues and I could not fix it. I hope I didn't make it worse. Okay, Mr. Damianakos, when you finished?
Yes, I was.
Mr. Simon?
Yeah, just to piggyback on the concerns, there's two main concerns. There's the risk of physical safety based on the defendant's actions, and we have video surveillance of some of those actions, so we have pretty strong evidence. Also, emotional and mental harm that both Alice, defense wife, and her two daughters suffer from this. And I think our concern is, after charges were initially filed and after the defendant was arrested, instead of reaching out for help, we have reason to believe that the defendant continued his abuse in the sense that he was kind of harassing and blaming her for his actions. And I think that's the reason why we need a forensic evaluation, because I think we're dealing with someone who, in their mind, somehow they're justified in what they did. And as Mrs. Peterson pointed out, that I think they need to make sure that he's just not attending these evaluations just to check off a box and go through the process without getting real, genuine help. This may be a situation where he just goes to counseling just to do the counseling and go along with the program, but not having any real, genuine intent to recognize what he did was wrong. But again, I just want to stress upon the point that I think he has blamed the victim in this case, and that is why we're so concerned.
Ms. Peterson, is there a domestic relations case pending?
There is not as of yet. There will be. There is order of protection that Ms. Kim has taken out against Mr. Kim. CCS is involved, and the extent of it. I just wanted to add one more thing, that the terrorist evaluation will not be for instance. Because there's only three people in town that do, and they're very specific, and it's a battery of tasks that are given. And it's used in felony criminal cases as well, in cases where there's a fear of future harm to the victim.
Well, let's assume hypothetically that that the forensic evaluation is completed and it comes up and indicates there's either some sociopathic tendencies or something like that. What would you propose the court do about that?
I would propose the court really do anything other than their recommendations if they do that he needs further treatment. That may be terrorist miss, that he is, but that you follow the recommendations, whatever they say. And I have no idea, it may be intensive outpatient treatment. I mean, it's very, in my experience, but really it's a recommendation as to how to move forward with this family's life, essentially, what he needs to do in order to be
to be around
this kid and the children in the future or other people in public.
Yeah. Mr. Simon and Mr. Damianakos, did you want to say anything else before we let Mrs. King read her statement?
Your Honor, just briefly, this may be a case where the defendant, it might be better to have him placed on supervised probation in superior court that way. They have the resources to make sure all of the treatment and recommendations are imposed. So that's always an option, Your Honor. I'd like to point that out.
Actually, it isn't. It's an option if he has multiple DV convictions within a year. Then it becomes an option. But just because the person happens to have committed a very, very serious misdemeanor doesn't mean I get to send it up to Superior Court. I tried that with a different defendant, I can't remember his name, and as helpful as the adult probation officers are, they said no, they could not take it because it wasn't justified under the statute.
That's what came to mind then, if I could, Your Honor.
Well, no, the ones we've been able to do it on, there were multiple convictions, and in fact there was the one fellow had two convictions in front of Judge Million and one up here, which allowed us to have them take it over. But if it's just a single conviction, we can't do it. Ms. Malashko, did you want to...
Either way, you have the... Just real quick, either way, obviously you have the power to force it. He'd be placed on probation.
And who's going to monitor it? We don't even have we've got a probation monitor for drug court, but beyond that, we just monitor compliance at most.
Yeah, either he does it or he doesn't do it, and then there's consequences.
Ms. Velasquez, did you want to say anything?
No, Your Honor, not today. Thank you.
Ms. Peterson, is your client ready? Okay, I have to tell you, Ms. Peterson, that to some small extent, your audio is breaking up a little bit. Not constantly, but some.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the solution is. I'm not a techie. All right, I'm not a techie at all, but that's...
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Past few months has been a living night. The situation forced me to make exceedingly difficult decisions, which I wish I did not have to. However, I am a mother and a wife. I take these roles seriously and with pride. My decisions and actions are and were to protect everyone involved, including you, Ron. I am not a narcissist, a control freak, a self-centered person who of wife out vengeance against her husband. But I am a mother and a wife who loves her family wholeheartedly and has tried to keep the family together. I wish I did not have to make the 911 call. However, I am glad I did. The pain of that action is very heartbreaking. I am still struggling with it today. I cannot imagine the trauma it would have caused our 12-year-old daughter if she made the call and she was prepared to do so. I take full responsibility for my actions related to this case, regardless of whether it's required by the legal system or not. I have kept this family secrets behind closed doors for 16 years. Next month is our 16-year anniversary. It hurts all of us in our own way. At this point, the truth needs to come out for healing to take place. Victim advocate and prosecutor can be my witness. I plead it for no jail time, but whatever help that's needed. This behavior has passed down from generation to generation already. It needs to stop at our generation. I made a vow to protect, nurture, and love our daughters when I first held them. Although my knowledge of abuse, trauma, and behavioral issue was very limited prior to this incident. I knew what was right versus wrong, healthy versus unhealthy. Therefore, I have put boundaries in place to protect our family. These actions are what may be perceived to be narcissistic or controlling. After many months of counseling for myself and for our girls with multiple counselors, these counseling that I completed is separate or independent of the counseling my daughters completed. I have learned that those are reactive abuse behavior and not narcissistic behavior, which are crucial boundaries and rules for the girls to grow up healthy and strong under the circumstances. I cope with the situations by deferring other instances of violence throughout our almost 16 years of marriage. There is no other domestic violence on record. I manage situations by attempting to control situations that may lead to anger and destruction of our family. I resisted the behavior by seeking outside help, like marriage counseling in Peoria and calling and making the 911 call. Although our daughters are still struggling with the situation, Amelia, who is our oldest, the 12-year-old, has become extraordinarily strong with Amelia. The role is an excerpt from her writing. Writing her feeling is suggested by her counselor to deal with the anger and pain. Quote, and out of all of it, I realized that I could not stay angry. Otherwise, it will consume me. End quote. She also realized she had anxiety problems and made it a summer project to educate herself Attorney Jennifer Reagan, Active Food and Family Program Director of Hope, to better understand the service they offer and how to manage anxiety. She was releasing a video teaching her peers on how to manage anxiety. Similarly, in the past few months, Abigail, our 9-year-old, has become more mature and resilient. Although her entire life was turned upside down, she managed to compete in kangaroo math competition and ranked 57 nationally for her grade level. She is a fourth grader next school year. Just like the vow I had made to my daughter, the vow to love and care for you that I made 16 years ago. However, loving and caring for you also includes knowing when to stand up, to ask for help, to stop a train wreck, to fight a lonely battle against all odds, to be the bad person, and most importantly, to protect the two most precious people, our daughters. These actions have broken me down in pieces. I am slowly healing. I ask you to truly accept your inner self and soul to determine the true root cause. You will each leave a legacy. What is your legacy? Thank you very much, Your Honor.
You're welcome, Ms. Kim. So the question is yes, Mr. Damianakos.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to let the parties know that I did speak with Mr. Sohum prior to this teleconference hearing, and he did know that the victim would be present and that he needs to be in. And although he's not here, he is going to be worried about your statements today, and I will just let everyone know that I will advise him of the content of that statement. And so that's all it was.
So the question is now procedurally, where do we go from here? Mr. Damianakos has already requested a continuance of the stay of the proceedings to allow Mr. Kim to move forward with at least some of the DV counseling and perhaps get into the parenting classes. State's position?
I would not object to a short continuance. He'll give me time to talk to the counsel for the victim, hash out this minor misunderstanding regarding the details of the counseling. Give us a chance to pin that down and see where we are on this.
My only concern is, sort of a paradox in the sense that Mr. Sohum needs to be able to demonstrate that he's not just ticking off a box, DV counseling, parenting. But he also doesn't want to unnecessarily delay the proceedings. But I think in order to prove that he is sincere about his intentions and his desire to get treatment, I think we need more than just a short continuance. He's just barely done an intake for perceptions. He has another intake scheduled for Friday. I would ask for, if parties are okay with it, victim's input could go up maybe 45 to 60 days so he can get some traction and then see where we're at. Because in 2 weeks, honestly, I'm not going to have much more information for everyone in terms of treatment.
Well, I guess the main question from the court's point of view is, are we going to move forward with a plea? Is this going to be some kind of plea diversion? Is it going to be a straight diversion? Or are we going to go to trial? And those are the crucial questions that I think have to be addressed. Ms. Peterson, what's the victim's position?
We have checked her version. She did approve the last fee that was meant, I believe, in June. I think there was an expiration date of today on that fee, but she did object to diversion.
Mr. Simon?
Yeah, diversion is no longer on the table. It's a straight plea. It's a straight plea to the threats charge. That is true. The offer expired today. Again, I need to talk to a counselor for the victim and see where we're going to go on this. As of yesterday, defense counsel pointed out where the defendant is on his counseling. So given that new development, we may, I don't know. I got to talk to counsel.
I would just point out that the first plea offer provided to me was a diversion plea very early in the case. Mr. Sarkoon was very interested and amenable to that, understanding the benefits of a diversion agreement, but also understanding the requirements on his part to earn the dismissal. Shortly thereafter, after the concerns of the victim were more fully addressed with the state, Mr. Simon reached out to me and said that diversion was no longer being offered The state, Mr. Simon did convey his concerns of treatment, not accepting responsibility, blaming the victim, many of the ideas that we heard from the victim in her statements. I sat down with Mr. Kim and we had a real conversation about treatment. And all I can say is Mr. Kim is committed to treatment. He's committed to healing the family and will do whatever is necessary to earn a dismissal through diversion. He's not asking for leniency, and I know this isn't a plea settlement conference, but I think I've conveyed this through my communications with Mr. Simon. He's not looking for leniency. He knows he has a lot of work to do, but my thought process was always to try to give him back the option of diversion through treatment. Now, whether that's going to be realistic or not, it's not up to me, but that's something that we very much desire. And we hope to resolve through that way. Because it's very easy to just walk in and take a plead guilty, placed on, but he I think there's something more there that he can achieve so he can avoid a criminal conviction. He has a very good job and he has no criminal history. And that's something that we really hope we can do.
May I just briefly respond?
Yes, Ms. Peterson.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to hold this up, but this is the guy who threatened to slash my client's throat in front of the children, and the children and wife. If you saw all of this, diversion is not appropriate in this case. This guy really does have problems, and he's created extreme trauma, not only for Ms. Kim, but for these kids who haven't heard what this intent is. So we're appreciative that he's getting treatment, but I don't think diversion is appropriate.
That's information that would go to Mr. Simon, and the court doesn't control at this point what plea offers are or are not on the table. I'm gonna grant the defense motion to continue. We're gonna put it off about 30 days, may end up being somewhat more because of crowded calendars, because of all this COVID and scheduling.
Do you want an afternoon?
Yeah, I'm assuming everybody would like to do it in the afternoon again. And with this format, I don't know.
That's too much.
Well, don't all speak at once.
I'm gonna do whatever you prefer, then. I'm gonna get my calendar.
All right.
Yeah,
September 2nd.
I have
recent calendars.
September 2nd. I'm in trial the afternoon of September
2nd. How about that Monday, August 31st? How about August 31st? Again in the afternoon. Okay, so Ms. Peterson shaking her head yes, Mr. Damianakis said yes, Mr. Simon, I guess you'll be here.
I'll be here.
At 2.
2 o'clock p.m.
This is the
original judge? No, it's going to be a pre-trial.
Okay.
The party should be ready at the next pre-trial to determine how the course of this case is going to proceed. It's either going to proceed with a plea, apparently, or it's going to proceed with a trial. I'm assuming, Mr. Damianakis, any kind of information you can provide to Mr. Simon and Ms. Peterson might be helpful towards a resolution. And if it's going to be, even if the plea is not going to be taken on August 31st, at least have the plea, terms of the plea finalized?
Yes.
It ended up being a two-page minute issue, but I'll put the court there in both. And we will snare in there and theoretically email it to the attorneys. Mr. Oscar, did you have one, or?
No, Your Honor, I don't need one. I have the information, though. Thank you.
All right. We're all excused, and we're adjourned on this. Mr. Simon, Mr. Damianakis need to stay. Everybody else is welcome to stay if you want, but you'll be muted.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome. Kirchmeier.
Yes, I'm here on behalf of Mr. Kirchmeier. He's not present, but I have contact with him. Your Honor, this was my motion to vacate the trial that was scheduled for today. There's just some additional things that I'm working on getting from out of state for some documents, court documents I need certified copies of for impeachment purposes that I need to get to Mr. Seidel's. And I've been receiving sort of trickling in over the past week items from my client, photos, things like that. There's also a witness, my client's mother, who resides in Washington State, that I don't know if I disclosed her yet, but I need to disclose her if I haven't, and her proposed testimony. Just a lot of moving parts that I was not aware of when we set this. So if we can, the other issue is Mr. Seidel's indicated to me on when was it? Maybe it was the day I filed the motion, so July 10th, last week. He's checking with the victim whether diversion can be offered in this case. So I guess it would be my motion to continue for plea negotiation / defense investigation / trial preparation.
Mr. Sandman, what is Mr. Sandman's position?
I spoke to him briefly. He has no objection to the defense motion to continue. He concurs with defense counsel. There's new discovery, and Mr. Seidels needs to look at that evidence, and if there's another witness, he needs to interview that witness.
How long are you asking, Mr. Dominakos?
No more than 30 days should be sufficient. Could we potentially do that August 31st date?
Yes, we could.
Great.
Would that be bench trial? You don't need to see any trial results?
So is this going to be a trial on the 31st, or are we putting it back on the pre-trial calendar?
A pre-trial to see whether or not it's going to be diversion or trial.
Because it could be resolved by then.
Yes.
All right. Time excluded. What time, Ms. Nancy?
We're just fine.
Okay, we'll schedule it at 2 o'clock, but we'll get to it in whatever order seems appropriate when the day comes.